This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
And I'm Madeline Brand. We're going to Africa now, to the Democratic Republic of Congo. It's one of the richest countries on earth in terms of natural resources, and yet most of the people there live in poverty, and they're victims of seemingly endless conflicts. The latest involves the notorious Ugandan rebel group, the Lord's Resistance Army. Members of the group brutally murdered some 200 people there last week, mainly women and children. Meanwhile, millions of dollars in mineral wealth is disappearing from the country. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
Okay, riddle me this. Let's say you're here in eastern Congo and you're moving 627 tons of tin ore to the Rwandan border. Along the way, and it's a far way, you never offload the containers. But by the time you make it to the border, you only have 92 tons of tin ore. Where did the rest go? Well, unless you're Harry Houdini, all 627 tons are still in the containers, but not in the official paperwork documenting the export. This is a true story, by the way, and this is how millions of dollars worth of Congo's mineral wealth leave the country every month. Prosper Amuli is a researcher for the Pole Institute, a think tank in the provincial capital of Goma. He has seen ore vanish from government records between the Goma airport and the border, a distance of less than 2 miles. So one day, he asked the government a French version of Riddle Me This.
La question que nous avons posée aux agents de l'État concerné.
Between Goma airport to the border, is there a phenomenon that makes minerals disappear?
The answer, of course, is yes. The phenomenon is called fraud. But of course, it's not as simple as that. People in the mining business here and their customers abroad have mastered the art of profit-making in what amounts to a hostile work environment. Naturally speaking, the eastern provinces are about as rich can be. There's also no shortage of cheap labor willing to scratch minerals out of the earth. But researchers say that more than 20 government agencies latch on to anything leaving the mines like ants at a picnic, exacting taxes, fees, and bribes worth up to 100% of the value of the ore being exported. Alois Teguera co-wrote the Pole Institute's report on how mining traders work here. Speaking in his office during a driving rainstorm, he says the process is all wet.
The whole bureaucracy is really amazing. You have an army of state services around them, each one wanting to take from them. In the end, these guys, you have to be tough to do it.
There's also a long chain of gun-wielding parasites for whom the mines are both the ends and the means to survival. The Congolese army, a Tutsi-led rebel force, Hutu fighters with ties to the genocide in Rwanda, and various other militias leech from the mines. They tax the poor diggers. They tax truck shipments at checkpoints. Sometimes they take over the whole operation. So if exporters want to stay in business, they've got to pay nearly everyone in sight to look the other way. Teguera says smuggling is more cost-effective.
Really, when you start studying it deeply, what happens? You tend to be sympathetic to these guys.
Official figures of what actually leaves this area vary, depending on the corruption level of the reporting agencies. But roughly three-quarters of the revenue that keeps North Kivu province afloat comes from mining, and most of the mineral exports are off the books. Here in North Kivu, where Tutsi-led rebels have been gaining ground against the Congolese army and against militias allied with the army, coltan and the tin ore called cassiterite are in abundance. Manufacturers in Europe, Asia, and the U.S. use them for jet engines, cell phones, and laptops, among other things. But not everyone makes out in a war economy. In Goma, at a drafty little warehouse owned by a company called MHI, white sacks line one side of the room. They're encasing what looks like dark gray sand with some shiny bits sparkling off the light. This is treated coltan, ready for export. Dani Mboneza Mwangachuchu runs this place.
Alors, avec la guerre, ça nous cause des problèmes. Mais si il nous arrive d'avoir la paix,
we think that if the war stops and we begin then doing a good mining, we think that in 4 years we can have a good money.
Dani's brother, Edward, has a government-leased concession for a coltan-producing mine just a few hours west of Goma. Edward is also a senator representing North Kivu in the national parliament. In Congo, where ethics often take a backseat to profits, this does not necessarily represent a conflict of interest. And in the best of times, Dani says the mine should produce 15 to 20 tons of ore a day. But in August, the advance of the Tutsi-led rebel force severely reduced what the Mwangachuchus can get from their mine. They say that just reaching the site can sometimes take negotiating with the Congolese army, the rebels, a militia called Pariko, and another militia called Mai Mai. The United Nations now warns civilians against traveling to the area. Right now, Dani is grieving over what might have been, had the war not interfered with profits. He's holding his head in his hands.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize that it was that bad.
Je suis vraiment désolé. Je ne crois pas que donc ça s'est passé comme ça.
The funny thing is, people in North Kivu haven't always been so heavily dependent on mining. Cassiterite prices, for example, only began to boom about 7 years ago. Before that, Alois Tegera says the province's main exports were cattle, farm produce, and timber. He says people here have not only lost their peace of mind over minerals, they've lost their identity too.
So we are not miners, we are farmers. This is what we are.
But wouldn't you know it? The produce, the cattle, and the timber exports have often been handled in much the same way as the minerals. It's as if somebody yells abracadabra, and everything missing from the Congolese export papers pops out in Rwanda or Uganda like a bunny from a top hat. Transparency in mining may never happen, but experts say that Congo can't begin to have an honest trade until the war ends, and worldwide demand for cheap smuggled minerals subsides. So in the meantime, North Kivu's multi-million dollar magic trick continues. Now you see the ore, now you don't. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Goma.